Praise the Lord. Amen. Time passes quickly. And the conference is already ending.
Geht es, ja?
Ja, ist gut, man hört.
Ich glaube, wir haben so viel schon gehört von den Brüdern.
We've already heard so much from the brothers over the course of these last few days. Too much is also not good if we don't have time to digest it. It's good to hear a lot and to understand it, and it's good and necessary. But it's even more important that we would enter into this word and really chew it over and over, and also practice to enter into the experience of the word. And the Lord will lead us. We have all received the anointing. And surely the Lord will also lead us to the completion of the work that he has begun with us. Because he has begun it and he will complete it. We have this faith in him. Amen. Let's read Hebrews 10 together. Hebrews 10, starting at verse 19. Maybe we could share that to the screen. Hebrews 10, starting with verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19 through 24. Or how about 19 through 25? How about someone read this out aloud in German, please? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Encourage us all to enter into this, into the holy place, especially as priests. Hebrews is a wonderful epistle. And we should all read it, and we need it, and pray over it. Yeah, we should pray to be able to obey this word. The Lord has shown us this wonderful way. And as we all know, only the priests were able to enter in. And when we look at the entire scripture,
erkennen. Nur die Priester. Ohne die Priesterschaft.
We have to acknowledge that without the priesthood, nobody would be able to enter in. And someone who is not a priest, who tries to enter in, this is not good. It's not a good result. Then will you not only receive nothing, but actually you will be dead. So do you think that the same principle doesn't apply today? Because we all ought to be priests. But not everyone wants to be a priest. And not everyone likes to hear about the priesthood. Why do we have to talk about being priests? And we don't pay attention to God's word. God's word is the entire Bible. In Timothy, Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God breathed? Back then, the scripture was from Genesis to Malachi, and it was breathed by God, and it's very profitable for us to lead us and guide us in the path of righteousness. It shows us a lot about what is in God's heart. If we only were to read the Gospels and the Epistles of the Apostles, there is much we would not understand unless we view the Scripture as a complete and single unit. For example, as we saw in these last few days, if we didn't have this picture of the tabernacle, it would be so difficult to enter into the reality. This picture is a wonderful picture, and it is also a heavenly picture. It's not just made up by Moses, but he saw it. In this picture, reflects a reality, that a heavenly reality that exists, because that is where the real holy place is, not built by Moses and not built by man's hands, but God himself built it. But to help us understand what this looks like, God showed it to Moses. And also the temple at the time of Solomon, this whole concept, all the details. Was revealed to King David by the Holy Spirit. It was an earthly building, but it corresponded to this wonderful structure of the New Jerusalem that God desires. So it's foolish to say we don't need the Old Testament anymore. We don't need it. But what can you do? There's not much to say. So it's important to see that in this time of the New Covenant and the New Testament age, we are a part of this wonderful building. And all the principles that Paul spoke about in Hebrews or that are in Revelation, we are partakers. And so it's really important.
Zu verstehen.
It's so important today to understand through this wonderful picture how holy God's temple is. And Paul said, you are this temple. Hebrews says, we are the house of God. We are this wonderful house.
dieses Wort zu sehen und dieses
And that's why it's so necessary to see this word and this picture.
Tabernacle, diese Stiftshütte, weil es am einfachsten ist.
Und we use this picture of the tabernacle because it's the simplest. And even if it's so simple, we see all the spiritual principles that are included and encompassed within it. And these are so practical to be applied by us in our daily life. Yeah, they help us to understand how holy our God is. And that's why we also ought to be holy. And how should we be holy? What are we? We are the temple. We are the body of Christ. And this is not an invisible or so-called spiritual body, but we are bodily members of Christ. That's so practical. And so through this, we already see that the outer court has to be holy. And in fact, this matches our experience. Our body requires much judgment because our body is our most outward part. And it comes in contact with so many things of this world. And indeed, we do need many things to live our daily life. But nonetheless, our body must still be sanctified. We also need food. But if we only are living for the sake of food, that's backwards. The food is for the body. It's not that our body lives to eat the food. But even food
can our whole life then also beherrschen.
Food could rule over our entire body. And in the end, we will not only eat to live and to stay healthy, but we will eat for the enjoyment of it. And in the end, we will be so focused on food. Look at how much the world offers just to satisfy your body. And then we do so much to care for this body. We do exercise, we do yoga. Well, I don't know all the different things we do. We eat cake, we eat chocolate. We eat so many things that ultimately are actually not healthy for our body. And don't think it's just food. There are many, many other things. Clothes, sports, so many things.
Anspruch nehmen für unseren Leib.
Yeah, things that we use or take advantage of for our body, but they also take advantage of our body. And so then the body is fully taken away from being useful for the Lord. But actually, this body is supposed to be a living sacrifice. It's supposed to be holy. That is our reasonable service. It's really reasonable. The Lord needs this practical body. Recall that in Hebrews it says, a body you have given to me. What for? To do the will of God. And what do we do with our body? Oh, we do so many things with our body. Lots of things. So our body must be sanctified and separated. This is not a small matter, how we deal with our body. Otherwise, in the end, we will be so distracted by so many things. And so we see that if we pay attention to being sanctified, then there are many things to which we have to just say, no, Lord, I judge this. This is not necessary.
gesund zu bewahren.
Of course, it's important to keep our body healthy. That's proper. But we also have to see, what do we actually need this body for? Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's so important. We need salvation. And our body also has to be ruled over or brought into subjection by us. You should preserve this verse in your heart. My body cannot just do whatever it wants. In 1 Corinthians 9, not Romans, but 1 Corinthians 9. He misspoke by accident. 1 Corinthians
9:27.
Yeah, for Paul, the body was important. And also Romans 8. Yeah, this body of death has to be made alive. This mortal body. Amen. Yeah, we really can notice how death is operating in our body. Often when we are doing other things, we are so diligent and we're so eager to be there. But when it comes to spiritual things, we're suddenly quite slow. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. That can wait. Right now I'm tired. And then suddenly the body won't cooperate with us. That is death. It's not physical death, but it's spiritual death in us. It's useless because death is reigning in the body. And we notice this daily, quite often, and then we have to say, no, Lord, give life to this mortal body. Swallow up the death in my body. And there are so many things that come out or are expressed by our body. We have to say to the Lord, no, this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I want to preserve it to serve you. This is reasonable. This is our reasonable service in the house of God. Of course, you must work. But when you go to work, you have to see, Lord, actually, I'm serving you. I'm serving you. We do everything unto the Lord. And this is a wonderful exercise. If a sister is cooking in the kitchen, to say, Lord, I am cooking, not just so that we will have something to eat, but I am preparing this food together with you. I'm serving you. I do everything for the Lord, unto the Lord, no matter what I'm doing. This is really an exercise to have this consciousness that whatever we do it unto the Lord. That's why it says in Colossians that everything we do unto the Lord and to the honor, to honor the Father. And this is really an exercise, and in particular, holiness. And we see ultimately the goal is to enter into the holy place. Of course, on the outside, there is a lot of bronze or copper, which signifies judgment. And indeed, there is much there is to judge in our body, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, covetousness. Oh, I've got to have this, and I've got to have that. And we think about these things, and there are so many things that draw us, that attract us Just like the people of Israel when they were in the wilderness, they still desired the things of Egypt. And that's how it is. We desire the things in the world, the lust of the eyes. And that's still in us. And we have to continuously judge this through the Spirit. This judgment is so necessary. Lord, I don't want this. Judge it. And that's why we also emphasized the importance of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. We continuously have to purge out what is still in us, the leaven that is still in us. Malice, wickedness. It's toxic, it's poisonous. And then we have to be washed. We have to constantly cleanse ourselves. Because if we go out, we are immediately defiled. So that's why with this virus, we are all staying at home, indoors. It's actually quite a good picture. Abide in the Lord, always. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. I think we don't appreciate this verse enough. Can you imagine at the time of Noah, when the world was being judged, not to be inside the ark? Then you would have been judged with the rest of the world. The only safe place is to abide in him, to be inside. So this tabernacle is like a refuge. It's a refuge from everything that is outside. So we enter in through the door, which is Christ. Here it is heavenly. The Lord is reigning here. His salvation, his holiness, his purity. There is no virus that is entering in there. We have a wonderful door. And if there are still problems inside this door, then we have an altar. And at that altar, the fire is burning, mornings and evenings. And we see that there are all sorts of offerings there. The sin offering, trespass offering, everything is dealt with there. And it's not just forgiveness, but also judgment. The self is crucified together with the Lord. The Lord bore everything. He bore us, our old man, everything upon himself. Satan, sin, the world, everything was judged there. And this is so wonderful. So wonderful to experience this day to day, day by day in our consciousness, to know this thing is already judged. I am crucified. The old man is crucified with Christ. So why should I still put on or be clothed with the old dead man? Do you want to drag a dead person behind you all the time? Who wants to do that? Brother, would you want to drag a dead body with you all the time? Surely not. No, what you should do is bury that dead person. Yeah, we put off the old man. Our old man is crucified with Christ and buried. It's good to die. It's good for it to have died, but it's even better for that old man to be buried. Yeah. That's where a dead person belongs. He belongs in the cemetery, not in God's house. God's house is not a cemetery. We are buried together with him. Is that not wonderful? So the only place for a dead person is a cemetery. So it's important not just to put off the old man, but to see I am crucified and buried with Christ, and praise the Lord, I'm baptized. That's the reality of the baptism. We are baptized into his death, and everything is buried with him. And we are also resurrected with him. This is so wonderful. This has to be our reality and our experience. Otherwise, baptism is just a concept to us. We may say, oh, it's my reality, but what is your experience of this like? If we're arguing and having conflicts at home, in our family, or as a couple, and then when we're out in the world, we argue, and even in the house of the Lord, we are arguing while we're on the so-called ground of oneness, and then we claim to be one. That is very strange for me to hear.
Kunst, sie streiten da im Ring drin.
It's like people fighting in a boxing ring.
Dann bleiben sie im Ring drin, aber keinen Frieden, dann schlagen sie.
They insist on remaining inside the ring, but if there's no peace, then they will just beat each other to death. So it's like saying we're on this ground of oneness, so this is the ground, you have to stay there. But while you're on this ground, you're just fighting, arguing. That's not good. Yeah, so Lord, we abide in Christ. But then we also have to practice to enter into the holy place. That is actually the goal. If we just remain outside, there may be many activities to do where we are serving here and serving there. And I'm not saying we shouldn't serve, but where do you obtain the strength and the supply to serve? So that's why you have to enter into the holy place. I'm not saying that there isn't a supply or that there isn't food in the outer court. It's true, they are keeping a feast and there are things to eat, but that is a general kind of food. In the holy place, there is a special kind of food, and this food is not for those who are outside, but it is a special food that is on the golden table. It's a showbread that we eat. This is a special holy food. There is food outside the holy place, without a doubt. But inside, it's different. I can't quite describe to you how it's different.
In dem königlichen Teil, priesterlichen, priesterliche Speise, das ist,
this is a priestly portion. It is especially for the priests. And it's separate and separated from the outer court. It is prepared in a special manner. And it is before, in the presence of God. It's not just any old bread that we're eating, but it is there, it has to be placed on this golden table in God's presence before his face so that he might look upon this bread. And it remains there for 7 days. That means that God is really examining this bread, because the priest cannot just eat just anything without it having been examined. It's It's not a matter of small importance, and God is not indifferent to what his priests consume. Can you imagine if a priest were to eat something that is unclean, or that is mixed, or contains leaven, or has something, some impurity in it? So God himself wants to examine the bread so that his priests would eat pure food, clean food. Because what we take in will also come out of us. Yeah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so you will speak, and you will teach, and you will share. And what do you share? You share what you have eaten. In Revelation 10, God said to John, John, you have to continue to prophesy. So go and get the scroll and eat it. Because there's still much for you to prophesy. So John ate this little book, and it was sweet as honey in his mouth, but it made his stomach bitter. So this is a food that had also an effect. This food is also healing, it's strengthening, it's nourishment that strengthens us. This is really a special, wonderful kind of food. And that's what we also have to learn as priests. When we come to the Word of God, not to just be so general to read lots of books. Oh, what does this brother say? What does Watchman Nee say? What does Witness Lee say? What does Martin Luther say? We get our inputs from so many different sources. But in the holy place, there are not so many sources. But it is only what has been examined by the Lord, by God. And I really appreciate what the apostles wrote, or rather what the Lord spoke also in the Gospels. Every word was so pure. And not just what Jesus spoke, but also what John, Paul, Peter, James, Judas spoke. What was written by Luke, by Mark. Yeah. We all have to learn. How is it that when they spoke, it was so pure? It was unmixed. That's why we dare to take this word today as God's word. So this is a mystery. And I don't have the confidence that any other books that I read are God's word. Even things that I speak myself, I don't have the confidence.
Heilige Männer, heilige Männer. Das ist ein,
yeah, and it was really holy men who wrote God's word. And this is really a mystery. And it's a wonder, a miracle, that through these holy apostles and prophets, God was able to speak. And these were not capable or talented or learned people. They were not theologians. They didn't study theology. They were not gifted at speaking. They had no other source but God. And they were examined by God. Not just one day, not just a quick examination, or once over. But they were really examined. How often do we approach the word this way? When we come to the word, do we say, Lord, is my understanding of the word correct? Lord, what does this mean? Lord, I don't understand. Don't say, oh, let me just think about it and figure out if I understood it properly or not. The prophets didn't do this. If they did not understand it, they always asked, well, Lord, what do you mean? What are you trying to say? Lord, what is it? Lord, you know. John asked, who are these in the white garments, clothed in white garments? Who is this multitude? You know. I don't know, but you know. How would I know?
Vater, woher soll ich wissen?
Father, how am I to know your will? I don't even know what another human is thinking right now. Who knows the spirit of man other than the spirit? Who knows man but the spirit of man? So if I can't even tell what you're thinking, of course we do need fellowship. And it's possible that God might speak through this brother or that person, because God showed him something. But who can know what is hidden in God except the Spirit of God? But we have received the Spirit of God, and the Spirit searches the depths of God, the mysteries of God. So God has to examine what we consume. Because what is to proceed from the mouth of a priest? It should be pure food. Truth, words of truth, words of righteousness, words of life should proceed from the mouth of a priest. And the Lord was the word of God. That's why every word that proceeded out of his mouth was so living. It was the truth. It was not crooked. It was pure.
Das ist die Speise, die wir essen sollen. Wer ist denn ein kluger und treuer Knecht, der Speise vorbereitet?
So who was a more faithful or wise servant preparing food for God's house? This food is a special kind of food.
Als Priester. Nur in diesem Ort da bekommen.
That we as priests can only obtain in this one place. It's not the food out in the outer court. I don't want to diminish the food that is in the outer court or to say that it's not good. But there is a special kind of food, especially for the priests, which is totally different from what is eaten out there. So I thank the Lord for what is in the outer court. It's a good piece of meat or unleavened bread. But you know, even out there they can eat leavened bread, otherwise it's too dry.
Aber diese priesterliche
Speise, but the priests, the priestly food,
das wird von Gott geprüft. Das ist
so is examined by God. And this is so precious, I can't really describe it. I am not the examiner.
Das nützt nicht, wenn es nur von meinem Angesicht und deinem Angesicht ist, auch für 70 Tage. Also.
So it's not useful for the food to be before my face or your face, even for 70 days. We won't know completely what's in it, even after 70 years. We cannot examine it the way that God can.
Deshalb heißt es Brot.
But this showbread, that's why it's called the bread before his face. But that sounds a little bit unusual. We're not accustomed to it. But that's actually how it is. These cakes, this bread, had to first be placed before the face of the Lord for 7 days. So that's indescribable, but that's the picture. So it's QC, it's quality control. That's very important for any company that manufactures a product. If the quality control is not good, if the person doing the quality control is sloppy, and it's a product that's made in China, and it's the quality will not be very good. But much rather, we have to have this heavenly quality, this food, because once you consume something, you eat it, it's not so easy to remove it or get it out of you. So pay attention to this. Examine the food, but do it before the Lord. Don't try to examine it by yourself. Because how can we really examine something without putting it before the face of the Lord? That's why it's so important to be spiritual, to be in the Spirit. But sometimes it's so difficult to describe. How can I determine if I'm in the Spirit or if you're in the Spirit? Praise the Lord. More and more we pray that if we are such who have this consciousness that we want to be sanctified, Lord, separate me. I want to be sanctified. I want to be holy. Then we can begin to examine the things together with the Lord. And that's so good. And so it's particularly important to eat this food. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But if my lips are unclean and my heart is unclean and I speak God's word, then it's actually unclean words that are coming out of me.
So
it's so important to have this attitude in our heart and also in our spirit. Lord, cleanse me. Learn to eat this kind of food. And the more we see, the more we recognize how twisted and perverse we are in our mind. We need renewing. We have to practice to set our mind on the Spirit. And we also have to learn that the Spirit would become the spirit of our mind. Recall that the Lord has given us a spirit of a sober mind, the eyes of our hearts have to be fully enlightened, not just a little bit, so that we can see, recognize. We need heavenly wisdom. We need our mind to be renewed so that we could know Him. We need an inner strength to lay hold together with all the saints, all of His dimensions. All of this is an exercise. It's not so easy, but it's also not impossible. And we need this appetite. Lord, I want to eat this pure food. And why did Peter speak of the pure milk of the Word? Why does he say it's the pure milk of the Word? Or unadulterated or true Word? He said it because even at that time, many had twisted God's Word and spoke, or there was hypocrisy and false teachings. The high priests, the elders, they all twisted the Word to use for their own purposes and for their own position. So everything was fake. And particularly in 2 Peter 3, it's so hard to, the words that he wrote were so difficult to understand, apparently, that many people just twisted the Word all the way up until today. And the result of that is that then all of us are also twisted or perverse. You don't believe me? Well, I know so many people who are so twisted because they ate this twisted food and they cannot get out of this twisted circumstance.
So as priests, we have a very important responsibility. How we with the words of God.
So as priests, we have a great responsibility to know how to properly deal with God's Word and how we eat the Word, what kind of food we are to eat. This special food is for the priests. Praise the Lord. So that's what I want to tell you about this showbread. We really treasure the pure Word of God. And no one spoke the way that the Lord Himself spoke. And people noticed how the Lord spoke as compared to how the scribes taught. The Lord gives life. He speaks with the authority, the power of God, and it works. It's pure. It's effective. It cuts. It exposes. It judges us. It chastens us. It corrects us. And then we are equipped for righteous works. And it perfects us as the man of God. This is this wonderful heavenly food. That's why the Lord says, I am the bread from heaven. It's the living, practical word that comes out of His mouth, that proceeds from His mouth. He says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. And he compared himself to the manna. This was a picture. Manna was a picture. It was not the true bread. I am the true bread. from heaven. And as priests, we all have to have this desire, this longing, Lord, I want to eat this bread. If we have such an attitude, the Lord will give it to us. If we pray, Lord, I don't want to eat mixed bread that was baked just anywhere, but I want to eat your bread, your pure bread with salt, with frankincense.
Yeah.
Without death, without any smell of death or taste of death, it's completely pure, it's living. And it abides in eternity. And whoever eats this bread will not only live now, but also live in eternity. Is this not wonderful food? Well, I'm already getting hungry for this food. In the Gospel of John, there are two good words. The Samaritan woman who said, Lord, give me to drink. And also in John 6, Lord, give us this bread always. These two exclamations or pleas are good. It's so good. Yeah, whoever is hungry should come. And whoever thirsts should come. And we are hungry and we have an appetite and a taste for a special kind of food. Of course, if we then enter even further in, we have an even more special kind of food, which is the hidden manna in the golden pot. For now, it's still hidden. Outside, there's nothing that is hidden. It's not very good if you try to hide something outside. We always want to hide things because we're afraid that people will see the dark deeds or works that we are doing. But in there, in the Holy of Holies, there is an even more special food, which is this hidden manna that's in the golden pot that is in the ark, inside the ark. And in the Holy of Holies, it's hidden in three layers or triple hidden, because it's hidden inside the Holy of Holies, and then it's hidden inside the ark, which is inside the Holy of Holies, and then hidden again inside this golden pot, which is inside the ark. So he who seeks finds. So brother, are you seeking such this kind of food? Are you seeking this kind of hidden food? The Lord says, he who overcomes, I will give to eat not only of the tree of life, which is in paradise, but I will give him to eat of the hidden manna, which is really something special. Do you not have a desire to have this food? To eat it? To gain a taste for this special food? Say, Lord, I want a special food from you. I want to eat your special dish. What's the special? This is the heavenly special. So this is really something that's hidden. Don't think that reading God's word is very simple or easy. If you are not holy, then it's difficult to gain this food.
dieses verborgene Manna verborgen? Was zeigt das, dass es verborgen ist?
What does it mean that God hid the manna? It shows that it's not accessible to everyone.
Wenn du mich besuchst, ja, Schlafzimmer.
If you visit me, the bedroom is hidden.
Du kommst nicht rein.
You will not get to enter the bedroom.
Aber Gästezimmer, okay.
But the guest room, I will let you enter. I will let you see.
Yeah.
And the living room or the den. And the guest room, kitchen, dining room, that's okay. But there is also a hidden area. And only those who are in a very intimate relationship with God can enter into that. So how close is your relationship to the Lord? Paul said that our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And this fellowship is in the light. And this fellowship is constant. And first you have to enter into the holy place and then into the Holy of Holies. And that is where you will receive special food. And it's not just holy, but it's for those who overcome. The Lord shows us that there is something the Lord has prepared for those who love Him, who seek Him, who are called according to His purpose. And for those who are seeking, so we should be such a people, not just to generally be His people, but among His people there are priests. Actually, all should be priests, but not everyone wants to be a priest. And some even were offended that we should learn to become priests. I'm not sure I understand why. These are believers who know the word. But they took offense because we want to exercise the priestly service. Well, at a minimum, they should give us the freedom to practice the priesthood, to see. Is it so bad to be a priest? No, you were called to be a priest. It's even a gift of God. It's an honor. And God wants to make us priests. Okay, maybe I'm not yet so practiced.
Learning by doing.
But what can you do? We're in the process of learning it. If you have kids and they start to draw a picture and the parents say, oh, great picture, even though it's just scribbles, but the parents won't say, this is so ugly, what are you drawing? Don't draw this anymore, this is terrible. That would be a very poor child. Brother, do you do this to your kids? No. You even praise them. Wow. Beautiful drawing. And you might even stick it to your wall. And then when guests come over, you see, look at what my 3-year-old daughter drew. And woe to anyone who says, that's ugly. Then you'll kick him out of your house.
So machen wir. So
but that's how we are sometimes. That's how we criticize. We would kick people out. That is, it's not good. Not just not good for us, but it's very offensive to the Father.
Oder glaubt ihr nicht?
Father God.
Entschuldige, ich rede immer zu viel.
So sorry that I always go on quite long. But this matter is in my heart. Not because of the actual criticism, but because there are still those who have not seen how precious this priestly service is, not for us, but for the Father. Because if we are not priests, we cannot enter in. And once we've entered in, not just to stop there in the outer court or even in the holy place, but to enter in even more before the throne of grace and to ask the Father to eat of the hidden manna of this special food. This is really important. But in the holy place, remember there's also a lampstand. And that's a different kind of light that exists in the outer court. In the outer court, it's daylight. It's natural light from the sun. And I'm not saying that sunlight is bad. But in the holy place, there is a special light that emanates from the lampstand. Imagine the holy place, it doesn't have a window. So can you imagine if your house or your room had no windows?
Let
me just fix the microphone. I have to learn to move around less when I speak so the mic doesn't get unplugged. Yeah. So if there is no daylight, then you need a different source of light. You've got to turn on a light. But in the holy place, there is no electric lighting. Can you imagine being in the holy place without any light? How could you serve? You can't even see what you're doing. If I get up at night to use the bathroom, and last night I went to use the bathroom in the night, and it was so dark that I stubbed my toe on a chair and I said, "Ah, yeah." So that's what happens if you walk around in the dark without the light from the lampstand and you want to serve God in the darkness. That's no way to serve God. So we need light, and we need special light. This is the light of life that comes from the golden lampstand. And when you enter into the Holy of Holies, you think God dwells in darkness? No. He dwells in a light that we cannot withstand. It's unapproachable by us. We would not be able to survive being exposed to such a light if we enter in. So we see there are stages. There's the natural light of the sun, Then there's the light from the golden lampstand, which is already wonderful light, but then there is an even more wonderful light.
Da drin, Gott selbst war das Licht.
And that's in the Holy of Holies. God himself is light. So he doesn't need a lampstand because he is light. Just as in the New Jerusalem, it says that God is the light. So there's no night there. In the holy place, you still have the morning and the evening. But in the Holy of Holies, it's always day. There's only light 24 hours a day, all the time. Such a light.
In der Finsternis.
And how often do I experience, Lord, I am still in darkness, at least partially still in darkness. There is still night with me.
Oh, Herr.
Oh Lord. Yeah, walk in the light. God is light.
Dies alles müssen wir schätzen.
We have to appreciate all of this. How can I be holy without light? How can I be holy without this wonderful food?
This is unmöglich.
It's impossible. How can I be holy without these offerings, without this bronze burnt offering altar? That always tells me that I have already been judged by God. And then I can take this judgment that Christ already accomplished and apply it in my life, in my dealings, my conduct, my thoughts, my desires, my lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. You think that if you walk in the Spirit, you cannot fulfill the lusts of the flesh? That's correct. But Paul didn't have the opportunity to describe exactly how to accomplish that. He said that through the Spirit, he also put death the deeds of the body. That is the judgment that Christ experienced and bore on the cross. And I have to apply that judgment and say, no, I condemn this matter and I don't want to have this in me. Lord, sanctify me completely. Or to say to my thoughts, no, I put away, reject this thought. As Peter said to Peter and actually to Satan, get behind me.
Du meinst nicht, was göttlich
ist. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, get behind me. You do not mean what is godly. He knew that Satan was hiding in the flesh and in the thoughts of Peter. And how often does this sin also hide in my flesh? And it leads me to think in a natural way. And James says that the wisdom of man is not from above, it's from below. It's not just from a human or from man, but it's even devilish, demonic. There are so many things that defile us, that make us unholy, that corrupt us. The works of the flesh are a very long list. And who can say that he is free of every single thing on that list? And so it's not so easy to say, oh, just walk through the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust of the flesh. This sentence is true and it's correct. But In Galatians 5:16, Paul did not go into detail about how to execute this. Otherwise, he would have had to write 1 Galatians, 2 Galatians, and all the way to 50th Galatians. Then you would have a really thick Bible.
Lass mal Paulus eine Konferenz halten über Galater 5, Vers 16. Da
hat if Paul were to have hold a conference about Galatians 5:16, there would be a lot to say. Till midnight, he would still be speaking. Until we all fall asleep, he'd still be speaking. So we require the entire scripture to really comprehend this one verse. It's the truth. It's the experience. It's his experience.
Dann meinst du, es funktioniert nicht. Nein, es funktioniert.
So if you just quote this verse and say, oh, it's not working. It doesn't work. Well, it's not just this verse alone that has to function. But really, it only works if you take many other verses together with it. Then it works. So praise the Lord.
Und wenn wir so sind, dann werden wir auch in unserem Gebet nicht nur an allgemein erinnere an.
And if that's how we are, then our prayer will not be general. You know, everything that's in the holy place is not general. And so too, the service in prayer, the ministry in prayer before the golden incense altar is not general. Don't think that no one in the outer court is praying. They're also praying in the outer court. They're praying, praising, thanking, saying hallelujah. It's a feast, so it's wonderful. But inside, before the golden incense altar, it's a particular prayer. It's the prayer of those in Revelations 5 and 8, those who are before the throne. It's not just a general common people who are standing there and praying, but those are the ones who were raptured, the first fruits, who are there before the golden incense altar, which is before the throne of God. That means that this group of people that is praying there before God is not just the general group. Some of them are still in the wilderness, and some of them are in the 3.5 years. Trial. But those that are before the throne, before the golden incense altar, they're praying before the golden incense altar, which is why we today also must practice to pray before the golden incense altar, which is before the throne. Otherwise, if you are otherwise, I don't know if you will be raptured if you are not already standing before the golden incense altar today. Otherwise, if you don't even know how to pray, well, what should I pray? Then we just have this general prayer in the 3.5 years. Oh, Lord, save me. Where is a place I can hide myself?
Dann beten sie anders sicherlich. Also was die Leute, die da vor dem
so those who are still on the earth during the 3.5 years, that's a very different prayer from those who are standing before the throne of God and before this golden incense altar. We have to see this. I can't explain it, but the picture shows us so much. Even if we don't understand it, we can see what the picture is showing us. I want to know, Father, what is your will? Father, there are still 4.5 years. What should I, or 4 years? If we assume that the Lord comes in 4 years, Lord, what do you want to do in these 4 years? What should we do? What is your speaking? What is your will? How should we run this last piece of the race, stretch of the race? What is still lacking? I ask this all the time. I tell the Father, where, how should we know unless you show us? To pray, to seek what is the will of God. Who knows what is hidden in God except the Spirit of God? If he doesn't show us. And one more point that I want to make sure that I want to tell you. Well, maybe we still have time until midnight. Well, I don't have so much to say. But one more important point. It's in the holy place before the golden incense altar that God speaks to you. He says, there I will appear to you. There I will speak to you. And it's also Zechariah, this high priest, who went in once a year to offer incense, that God would speak, and everyone awaited what God would say. And the poor man came out, and he was mute because God had shut, sealed his mouth, and he couldn't say what God spoke to him. But that is the place that God, where God desires to speak to us, and God speaks to the priest. There is a verse in the Old Testament that God doesn't do anything unless he first tells his prophet, which is also true. God will judge, but he will not judge without first telling his prophet, now go and warn this people.
Ich hoffe, dass wir solche Priester sind, Gott zu uns.
So I hope that we would be such priests that God speaks to us, not a strange speaking, but that he would reveal to us, speak to us, as God spoke also in Acts to his disciples. And in Revelation, the Spirit spoke to the churches, and the Lord himself spoke to the churches. Our God is a speaking God. And as priests, we need to learn and practice with this consciousness. Lord, give me ears to hear. Cleanse, sanctify my lips and my thoughts. That's why I return and bring us back to Isaiah 11, where it speaks of this wonderful spirit. We see it's the spirit of wisdom. We all lack wisdom from above. We all have our own wisdom, which is fine, and maybe you're very wise and clever when it comes to the earthly things or worldly things, without a doubt. But with regard to heavenly things, we are all not wise enough. We don't know anything. That's why the wisdom of man is foolishness for God. And often we think we're so smart and we know a lot. We have a lot of knowledge in the church and we make decisions according to our own wisdom. But the wisdom of man is foolishness for God. And God's foolishness is wiser than the wisdom of man. But actually, God does not have any foolishness. But even if God had foolishness, that foolishness would be much, much wiser than our human wisdom. Look at what human wisdom has achieved on this earth. In the end, they made bombs, bioweapons, to destroy all of humanity. That's the end result of human wisdom. It's foolishness. We think we are so wise, and through our own wisdom, we destroy God's work. We need heavenly wisdom. And we have to confess, Lord, I need your wisdom. Don't think you know a lot. We don't know anything with regard to the heavenly things. And so we need wisdom. And we also need a renewed mind so that we can apply this wisdom. I have to understand. I have to have a heavenly understanding. He would give you a heavenly and spiritual understanding. And then we also need his counsel. Because there are many details. I might understand broadly what is God's will, but to then execute it step by step, I need his counsel. He is the counselor. I'm not a counselor, and you're not the counselor. None of us are counselors. I've often said that my counsel is, well, my counsel is useless. We need his counsel, Lord. What should we do? Especially with regard to God's purpose. To execute, to do your own job, maybe you need the counsel of your colleagues or your boss, or maybe you just use your own intelligence. You can use it. You have to study and you have to be educated to do your job. Don't just say, oh Lord, I'm an engineer now and you're the Lord and you're my counselor and so you just tell me what to do. This is not the type of counsel that the Lord gives you. You can get that from the university. But everything that has to do with God's purpose and the heavenly building, if it has to do with his will and his building that he wants to accomplish on this earth, then we need his counsel. We need his wisdom. He has to show us.
Dann machen wir sehr viele eigenes.
Yeah, without his counsel, we would do a lot of our own work and destroy God's work. It's like kids who always want to do it themselves. I know, I can do it myself. I know, let me do it.
Wenn es zu wichtige Projekte
and when it comes to important projects, you don't let your kids touch it. If it comes to a project for your company, you would not let your children just touch it or do it their own way. So we need his counsel. Yeah, the spirit of counsel. The Spirit will teach us all things. All things does not mean things like math. For math, you have to go to this brother who studied math. He can teach you. He is the math counselor.
Wenn ich Mathe brauche, dann
if I need help with math, then I'll go to this brother. Brother, can you please calculate this for me?
Ich bin kein Mathematiker.
I'm not a mathematician.
Aber himmlische Dinge. Oh, Herr.
But when it comes to heavenly things, we need his counsel.
So lob den Herrn. Und dann brauchen wir eine innere Kraft.
Yeah, and we also need inner strength. And that's why the scripture says that he who is led by the Spirit, what does it mean to be led? It means that every step in our spiritual life, on this heavenly way, this highway of holiness, I need his leading. Because often I can't tell, is something holy? Is it useful for God or not useful? It doesn't mean we don't have the freedom, the liberty. But there's still much that we don't know. And so we need the strength. All these wonderful traits, characteristics of the Spirit are available for us to apply. God has given us a wonderful Spirit. And this wonderful Spirit is all we need today according to his word to execute his work, to carry out his work today as priests of God and as servants of God. So let us all learn. Praise the Lord. So I think that's enough. We don't need another meeting. Too many words are also not good. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Oh,
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your living word to us. We give ourselves to you. We want to experience this wonderful Spirit in all the aspects. Lead us from the outer court to the holy place and all the way to the Holy of Holies. We want to receive special light from you. And we desire this even more hidden food. We are hungry to eat this best portion. Help us through the Spirit of power to experience all this step by step in the Spirit. Yeah, we want to learn to lay hold of everything you've spoken to us today through the Spirit and also be our counselor with every step. That we know what you desire to accomplish today on this earth, that we would not follow our own counsel, but that we would ask you and also receive answer from you. It's so necessary for us to lay hold of you in all these aspects. And we also need the wisdom from above. We confess we are so foolish when it comes to heavenly things. We need you as the counselor. You help us to comprehend these things. So we come to you and we let you counsel us. Amen. We praise you, Lord, for your word, that you are leading us exactly to this place through your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Herr, danke für dein Wort heute Abend.
Lord, thank you for your word this evening. Lord, we also want to have a closer, a more intimate relationship with you, to really know you in this ministry, the service in the holy place. Give us to eat of this deeply hidden food. Yeah, the food on the showbread table and also this hidden manna. Each day, show us, shine on us with this light of life, and teach us to also serve at the incense altar, to pray in such a way for your plan and your purpose. And we also want to experience that you would speak to us there. So lead us into all the reality. We give you the time after this conference. But we would really enter into the reality of every part of the tabernacle through the Spirit and help all the saints with this. Grant us this wonderful Spirit.
Yeah.
Bring uns in alle Erfahrung von diesem Wort.
Lord, lead us into all the experience of this word.
Schätzen diese Gnade.
Yeah, we appreciate what you speak to us. And we appreciate this grace. And strengthen us into the inner man, that we would have the strength to lay hold of what you've shown us. Give us a renewed mind, that we would really lay hold of and comprehend what your word wants to say to us. We want to learn all these services, ministries in the holy place, in before the incense altar, because we all want to be overcomers. So lead us all into this service. Amen. Yeah, lead us to burn this incense every day for your good pleasure. We receive your word in faith and say, strengthen us and lead us into all these experiences.
Amen.
Father, like Paul, we also want to say, not that we have already attained, but there is still more that we have to experience, that we would not be complacent or already satisfied, but continually be poor in spirit. We want to know you even more, lay hold of you together even more, that we would be filled to the full, to the fullness of Christ. Yeah, we are not satisfied until we have reached the goal. And since you have not yet come back, it means there is still more for us to do and for us to lay hold. It means that there is more that you desire to accomplish, and we are not yet perfected. We want to be perfected. We thank you for the time that you are still giving us. We want to come to the full maturity. We want to be fully mature so that we can be the first fruits for the Father to enjoy. And we believe you, that you desire to help us in this. With your mercy, your grace, the Holy Spirit, your word, and your living speaking, you will lead us and you will draw us. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you and praise our triune God.
Amen.
Ja, aber Vater.
Amen.
Lob den Herrn.
Praise the Lord.
Gelobt sei der Herr.
Zeit ist zu Ende.
So the time is over. Amen. I think during these days, we all have time for fellowship with one another, in the meetings or with our family. So let's really use this time to see even more and to compare what we've heard with our daily experience and our daily life. I want to encourage everyone not to give up. The Lord has led us to this point, so he will also do it and complete the work in us. I don't know if it will proceed very smoothly, surely it will not be smooth sailing without problems the whole time. The Lord said that you will have sorrows, tribulations in this world. So that's part of it. And I don't know what kinds of tribulations or sorrows we have yet to experience, but they will come. The Lord said you will have troubles, difficulties, refining. The Lord probably has to continue to refine us like silver and gold. There's still quite a bit to be done with us. Quite a bit of work still to be done. It's not easy. And toward the end, the purifying work becomes finer and finer. The larger or rough tasks are easy to do. To renovate, when you renovate a home, it's quick to do sort of the big tasks, but to do the fine work at the end is difficult. So that requires a lot of fine and detailed inspection and design. This fine work requires time, and it's not so easy. So we should expect the Lord to still do more, to do more and to do important things in our Christian life. You know, the really gross or coarse sins are easy to recognize. But the hidden difficulties that are not so evident, such that we ourselves may not even know of them or see them, they're hidden, or we don't like to. We're still attached or holding fast to certain things that we don't want anyone to touch. To deal with these things is much more difficult. And I can easily imagine, we may think, well, I've already experienced a lot. I will not say that we've not had any experience. But it's not sufficient. The final pieces or stages of work are always the hardest. If right before you get to the final product, there is a lot of work to be done. You have to test, does the product function properly? And so it's no different with us. So don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Just because the Lord is touching this sensitive point in you, don't say, oh, there's no point. It's pointless. I give it up. I just give up. Forget it. That's not the point. The point is that the Lord wants to perfect us. He wants to bring us to perfection. And we have to really appreciate this and thank the Lord and stand still. Don't run away. Yeah, we have to stay in place until the operation is complete. And even after your operation or your surgery is complete, you still have to remain in the hospital for a number of days. You don't just leap right up after the operation and leave. That would not be good. So let the Lord do his perfect work. Let him complete his perfect work with each one of us. Because I've seen that many have gone through problems and trials. And in the end, they have just given up. They've resigned themselves. Everything's pointless. Goodbye. And they just cast everything, throw everything overboard. That's really a pity. That's too bad. This process is long. It is difficult. Don't think that this process of sanctification is easy. There's no process that's easy, especially when it comes to fallen man as we are, to transform such a fallen man into a holy vessel, to make us mature and glorious. Do you think that's easy? Think of the day you were saved until today. Have you been perfected? Well, if you've been perfect, please speak so we can see your picture on screen. So you see, after such a long time, as Christians, we've not yet reached the goal and we're not yet perfected. And sometimes we may even think, Lord, there's still so much, Lord, that you have to work on with me. We ask, as the Pharisees did, Lord, what are the works of God that we should do? The Lord answered, you mean the work of God that I have to do with you or on you, that you would believe in him. Yeah, you should believe him and his work. What is his work? His work is not for you to go out and do so many things. I'm not saying you shouldn't do things, but his work is something different. He wants us who are so fallen, corrupt, poisoned, and in the image of the serpent, he wants to lead us into glory. And this process is not easy. It's not just a matter of knowledge and knowing the Bible and all the theology and being able to explain everything. So what? But the Lord wants to lead us into glory. Yeah, glorious as he is, as Romans tells us. Yeah, to make us to the image of the firstborn Son of God. That we would be transformed. He doesn't just want to save us and justify us, but he also wants to sanctify us and glorify us. What a work! If I look at myself, then I often continuously have to ask him, Lord, is it still possible with me? Is it still possible? If you encounter a small problem, you already want to say goodbye. You say, oh my goodness. Well, what kind of attitude is that? Then is it for nothing that the Lord worked so hard on us all these years? Then we have to go through these last 3.5 years in this, like in Daniel, where the three were in the thrown into the furnace. Do you still need the furnace? No, we don't want to wait for that, but we tell the Lord, Lord, quickly accomplish with me what you still need to do. I want to reach this goal. You know, you are the physician. You know how to treat me and how to deal with me. You can save me to the uttermost. So do it, Lord. But if the Lord does it, oh, then you just run away. Oh, Lord. Then the Lord will say, did you not pray that I should save you to the uttermost, and now you're running away? How can I save you to the uttermost if you are running away from me? How can the dentist treat your tooth if you jump up and run away as soon as you see the drill? You just run away from the dentist, then he can't treat you. He cannot heal your tooth. So don't run away. No one said it's easy or pleasant. Which of the apostles or the saints in the first century had an easy time of it? We surely have had an easier time of it than they have. They gave their lives. They were martyrs.
Ich bin froh, dass ich nicht zu. Früher habe ich immer gedacht, es wäre doch schön.
In the past, I used to think, oh, it would have been so nice to be there in the first century and to be born at that time and to be alive at that time. Really? Well, thank God, I was not born at that time. Today, that's my point of view. Today, I say, thank God I wasn't born then. Because then people would want to kill. Today, no one wants to kill me. At the most, they want to kick me out, but no one's trying to kill me. So what is that? What we experience today is compared to being thrown into an arena to be eaten by wild animals. So I have to be thankful today that I was not born back then in that age. But then as soon as I counter a little bit of difficulty and I see this dentist drill that I already jump up and run away. Do we think that the Lord will treat us badly? No. But he uses our environment, our surroundings, our difficulties, a small amount of heat. He will not test us beyond what we are able to bear. So why don't we trust him in this? And rather we react right away, and right away we're upset, and right away our soul rises up in us, and the dead man is resurrected in us again. We've jumped up out of, leapt up out of the grave.
Der Herr weiß, wie er uns behandelt.
The Lord knows how to treat us. He is a wise worker of God. Look at how he treated and dealt with his disciples. Not just full of love and righteousness. He was full of love and righteousness, not just scolding them or amputating them, cutting them off. If you always amputate members, then in the end, the body of Christ will just be the abdomen and nothing else. Because we've cut off all the saints. We've sawed them off, and then in the end, the tree is just a stump. Just a stump or a trunk. Well, that's not a lampstand, because everything's been chopped off, sawed off. Of course, it doesn't mean we tolerate everything in the church. There are things that must be dealt with, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Our Lord does not accept just everything. That's why there is an enclosure. That's why there is a high wall. But the Lord wants to bring us to perfection, and that's something precious. So be patient. Have long suffering and perseverance. Abide and remain in the house of the Lord, in the holy place. And when his light shines, don't hide behind the table. Don't hide under the table. There's no place that his light does not reach. But remain calm and let this heavenly physician treat us and bring us to full maturity. Okay? So let's encourage one another.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. He will make it with us. He is able. That's why it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, faithful is he who called us, who also will do it. But you have to remain in place. Don't move. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm really happy that we could have this time of fellowship.
Amen.
Yeah, and may much grace be with us all. Praise the Lord.
Danke auch, lieber John.
Ja,
lob den Herrn. Ah, Ute, Halleluja.
Wir ermutigen dich auch. Du schaffst es.
Das braucht dich. Du musst auch glauben, indem ich hier rede, ermutige ich auch mich selbst und nicht nur euch.
Weiß ich.
Yeah, the sister said, we encourage you also, and the Lord will make it with you. And the brother said, yes, and it, through my speaking, I'm also encouraged. Praise the Lord. Yeah. We encourage one another. We're so far apart.
Yeah.
But we're still connected in the spirit. And through technology today, we can even speak face to face with one another. Yeah, that's also the grace of God. Praise the Lord. When I see the brother Elias, I think of the prophet Elias. Praise the Lord.
Firstly.
So,
Firstly.
Now the saints are just talking to each other.